welcome to the Cold World Podcast. Let me make sure I start off by saying that. The other thing that is kicking my butt is this program, this grad program. Going for this doctorate degree is slapping me up. I am actually in the middle of a paper right now, but I stopped doing that so I could have this conversation with you all, because I made a promise that I would cover these movies, because these movies were like the best things that happened to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to drink more water too. It's a struggle because I don't like water. So Get Out, I took a break and I watched Get Out, and then I went to go see Logan. And two movies that spoke to my spirit, son, for different reasons. So I'm going to start with Get Out. Now, let me be very clear. If you are listening to this and you have not seen the movie, I'm about to spoil the hell out of it. I'm about to talk all through this movie. I'm about to talk about, I'm not doing a traditional review. I'm about to talk about how the movie made me feel and just observations that I had. If you can go to another website and get like a full review, but I'm about to just give you in all my blackness how I experienced this movie. And then with Logan, it's going to be similar. As somebody who grew up an X-Men fan, Wolverine is my favorite character just in general, period. And that movie was just amazing and I loved it. So Get Out. Again, I don't need to go and do a synopsis of the film. I went into this movie. I heard about all the hype. You know, I saw Jordan Peele. Seems like an interesting dude. He's marrying the Chelsea Peretti woman. She's actually here from, she's from Oakland. I think she's pregnant right now. White woman. And so he made a movie about some interracial dating that turned into the Meet the Parents from Hell. And so, first off, if you have not gone to see this movie, please go see it. Please. And when you go see it, do yourself a favor and see it in a theater with nothing but black people. The reason why I say that is I forgot what it felt like, because Oakland has changed so much. Like, I forgot what it felt like to be in a theater in with a black movie with like a black crowd. Okay. Like, the commentary is impeccable. It's amazing. I'm sitting kind of like kind of close to the front, and there are these two black women in front of me, and like there's like a big space in between us too, but I could hear them and I could hear their conversation perfectly. These two women are the most amazing women that I had ever met. I had to tell them thank you after the movie. Their commentary was funnier than the movie. All right. When the first scene, when homie gets snatched up, they was like, I bet he was messing with a white woman. See, that's what happened. That's what you get. Like, these women were going in. Okay. Like, listen, how many of y'all remember that Chris Rock sketch a long time ago? I forget which special it was on. And he was talking to white people and he was talking about Mr. Willie. Mr. Willie was like the old black man. He was like, you think Mr. Willie sweet? Mr. Willie hates your guts. Like, all I could think about was that sketch about Mr. Willie, because so much emotion came out of these women while this movie was happening, man. When they got introduced to the lead character, first off, they went, woo, like they was in love with this dude, first off. And then when they saw his girlfriend, they like to flip. Now, this is why it's so funny, because they knew that this super dark skinned black man that they were super attracted to, right? They knew he was dating a white woman. Like, that's what the whole movie is about. Listening to them, you couldn't tell. I don't know what movie they thought they was coming to see. I just have no clue. I don't know if they thought they was coming to see Meet the Blacks or something. I have no clue. But when this white woman showed up, yo, they booed. So, like, it was so many emotions that they was going through. And so when we watching this movie and then they get to this house, first off, the house they went to was immaculate. When they drove up to his girlfriend's parents' house, it was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it was beautiful, man. I'm in this space where I'm thinking about buying a house, and then I see stuff like that, and then I get real happy and depressed at the same time, because I'm like, that house would be multi-millions of dollars, but it was just beautiful. It was like in this pristine spot. And so we, so when they show up and then stuff started getting weird, man, the crowd was just so, so funny. Everything that the white folks were saying, the crowd was just like, don't believe them. The black women up in front of me was like, just leave now. It's just, they were so funny. And the reason why I really appreciate them is because there's Lil Rel is in the movie. Lil Rel is a comedian. He's on the Carmichael Show. And Kevin Hart actually produced one of his stand-ups. You should go see it on Netflix. I think it's out there right now. I saw it a while ago. He's pretty funny. But he was these black women. Like he spoke to these people. The role that he played just in his blackness was, if he was sitting back watching the movie, these are the things that he would be yelling and he would be saying. And so it was just so funny. So when they at the house, and homie is like a photographer, and you know, he's out there like walking and taking pictures and doing all that stuff, and then weird stuff started happening. When you meet the black folks that's on the property, that's the maid and the groundskeeper, and they just super, super weird, man. Like, you watching this movie and it just gets, you have these surreal moments, and just listening to them talk. And so, you know, Jordan Peele is like a real smart dude in the sense of, you know, it's layered, right? Jordan Peele is a person that has dealt with being biracial, and he has used comedy as his outlet to attack that subject, right? So when you think about Key and Peele and basically the premise of that show, which was kind of like a ripoff of Chappelle, but it was more so focused on being like biracial. And then you think about the first movie that they did, the Keanu movie, where you have, it's basically a sketch that went too long. But in Keanu, it's about these two mixed black white men that live in like a suburb, that live a different type of life. And then now to get this cat back, they have to like, you know, tap into this like black side or whatever. So Jordan Peele has, you can tell that he's had to deal with, you know, in his own way, the emotions of being biracial and what that means to him. And also, you know, they get slack across around the industry because they date white women. And so I remember listening to what was the other brother from the other brother that was on Mad TV with them. And he was talking about them. He was just like, you know, a lot of people in the black community, a lot of black comedians don't rock with them because they don't, you know, they don't come off as the typical black comedians. And I think he could have used some better words, but I mean, I felt like he was having a candid conversation. So when I look at this movie, it's layered in so many ways where I feel like Jordan was trying to take, not shots, but to satirize both what it means to be a black man and also what it means, what racism means in 2017. And the tropes that he chose were really intentional. So he didn't choose like the Southern hillbilly, like trailer, super conservative white folks. What he got was, he wanted to, he, no, he said, I want to show liberals, like left leaning liberals that say things like, I don't see color, I don't see race, that I would have voted for Obama a third term. Like, he wanted to expose the microaggressions and racism that comes from that sect, right? And so as a black man who's been in that space of like white leadership, even with like the Democratic Party, the progressive movement, all that stuff, it was interesting to watch because, you know, I find myself a lot of time in arguments with really left-leaning white folks around the implications of the agendas that they might have. So for instance, you know, I got trained up in progressive leadership, and it was like San Francisco progressives, right? And I would always be like the combative black dude because I never felt like they was taking up black issues. It was always, you know, issues around So for instance, even like something around gentrification, San Francisco has systematically kicked black folks out of San Francisco since the 70s and 80s. And that's when it really got kind of ramped up in the 80s and 90s, right? And it wasn't really loud, right? But when tech started to really thrive, and white folks was getting kicked out of San Francisco for tech millionaires, then this whole gentrification thing took legs and kind of ran, right? Or, you know, every time there was an issue that was for gay folks, like they would jump on it, which was fine, right? But I never had heard like any black or brown issues like really tackled or brought up through that progressive apparatus, right? And so, you know, this is a group of folks that sometimes feel like they don't have a racist bone in their body. So what Jordan did with exposing some of the issues with that group and how that comes off in this kind of caricature way, I thought that was brilliant. I thought that leads to a bunch of conversations that need to happen, right? Because for so long, it would be these would be the folks that well, I'm an ally. I can't be racist, or I can't be, you know, I can't be this and I can't be that. And so we saw a lot of that. I got into a lot of arguments on social media when, you know, Trump won and when the safety pins came out, right? And I would have these arguments, you know, when people would be like really upset about Trump winning, which I was upset too. But now it's like, oh, now you want to stand with me, and now it's an issue because I feel like you having this type of reaction because you feel like you about to be treated like black folks. Now, that's not something that people will ever say, but I don't think it was something that necessarily needed to be said. So while I'm like, okay, Trump is here. He's a crazy dude. Stuff has been bad. So what am I going to do? Stuff can get worse, but here's how I'm going to kind of, you know, deal with this stuff. You had like other folks freaking out, you know what I'm saying? That never had to kind of deal with that type of, the type of discrimination that they might feel like they're feeling right now, right? Because Trump is making progressives really feel it. He's making the nation feel it because he's an imbecile. So I think that Get Out was so poignant because it lifts those things. And so let's fast forward to through the movie where stuff just starts to get really weird. And, you know, homie gets hypnotized. So homie gets hypnotized. And, you know, he goes into the sunken place. That sunken place scene where he clicked on the little, you know, she was stirring the tea and she'll click it with the spoon and you would just fall and drop in a sunken place. Like that messed up like the room. All right. Like the room was like, oh, like that. And I think that was I think a lot of folks felt like. I mean, I think that's some of the ways that we sometimes feel in the country, right? When you looking at situations that happen around us, that happen to us, and you trying to make a difference, and you watching it happen, and you can kind of watch yourself a little bit, but you can't quite reach that screen to get out there and make something happen. So we watch black bodies be murdered. We watch black folks getting killed in the streets. We watch craziness happens when white folks that murder black people get off and things like that. And then we try to talk about it. They'll bring up something like black on black crime like that. That to me feels like the sunken place. When he was in the sunken place, those were the things that I was thinking about. Now, he might not have meant for that to happen, but damn it, that's my journey. That's what I was thinking about. And it's like, how do you kind of stay out that sunken place? The other thing I want to really push on too is there's a lot of people that say stay woke now. Like, I think that term is a term that I feel is just so abused at this point. Like, I'm just tired of hearing it. But I also feel like if you don't know, you know, one of the greatest hip hop songs of all time, which is New York State of Mind by Nas, I feel like you probably shouldn't be able to say stay woke. Like, so Nas has a line, I never sleep because sleep is the cousin of death. Like, stay woke kind of grew out of that. Like, people did those plays on words and things like that. But Nas was talking about that stuff when he was like, you know, I think he was 17 or 19 when he did that album. And I mean, it's just something that we just constantly hearing, man. So I loved Get Out. I loved every moment. Let me tell you what part I really loved. And this is where y'all going to judge me. It's all good though. Normally in those type of movies, the person kind of gets away and runs off and all that stuff. No. Homie said, I'm about to kill everything moving, son. Like, when he got free and he just killed the entire house. Like, he did the thing where I give Jordan major props from. Is he had this situation handled in a way that he felt folks watching the movie would have wanted it to be handled. So I have never seen this is the part that probably scares some people that wasn't black. Every time he brutally murdered somebody, the black man, when he brutally murdered one of these white folks in this house, the cheering sounded like the Warriors was on a 20-0 run in the finals, yo. Like, people were cheering. They were cheering. And I kind of felt bad if you was a white, like, here's the thing. The Bay Area has so many interracial couples. I know that there were some white women in there with their black boyfriends. I really need to understand how they felt. I want to, like, go and find that podcast or that article. One of them going to do one. I promise you. I promise you. That it's going to be an article or a video of a white girlfriend to a black dude that watched this movie and they got some feelings. I can't wait to find it because I'm telling you, I'm posting it everywhere. I have no issue with interracial dating. Do what you do. Love who you love. I think it's great. I really want to see their reaction. So when homie was choking out the girl at the end, it was like... People were so, like, they were just like, yo, the clapping, yo, it was crazy. It was wild, man. And so I love Get Out. I'm definitely going to be buying Get Out. I might even try to go see it in the theaters one more time, maybe this time with some friends because I went this time by myself. I love going to the movies by myself. So that's Get Out. Now let's switch gears to Logan. So real talk, y'all. I may have enjoyed Logan more than Get Out. Well, I don't want to say more, differently, because Get Out, I went in kind of just, you know, not necessarily knowing what to expect, expecting just to be entertained. Logan, I have emotional connections to, like, Wolverine and Hugh Jackman in his role, and he hasn't always been given the best roles, and we've never seen the Wolverine that I think that the world deserves. Like, Wolverine is not a PG-13 character. He is a rage-filled animal, and he has these berserker moments. And so when they announced that that Hugh Jackman was leaving the role and they was going to do this send-off and it was going to be rated R, I was just in. I was in. And so the movie just starts off. They earn that R rating. And it's not like grotesque for the sake of being grotesque, but it is... It's what you would expect from Wolverine in the world that he's in. And so you start the movie with a Wolverine that's like taking on damage. He didn't used to take on damage. He used to heal. His healing factor is not working well. The adamantium in his bones is starting to kill him. You see an old Charles Xavier who has like dementia and in this world. And it's just. I mean, it was hard to look at Charles Xavier. It was just a beautiful, beautiful movie. It felt more like a Western. It felt, you know, it felt like a Western that had a superhero in it more so than it felt like a superhero movie. And the movie just was done so well. It was such a good movie. And then you meet little Laura. What's her name? Laura, Lana, Logan, one of those. It sounds like Logan. I think it's Laura. Anyway. But you meet X-23. You meet Wolverine's clone daughter. I love this kid, yo. It reminded me of when Kick-Ass came out and you had the little girl that was out there, you know, and she was just an amazing character. I think she was even better than that. It was so brutal. It was so raw. And then watching like this family bonding road trip Western movie around the relationships between Charles Xavier, Wolverine, who's Logan, and his daughter was just made for an amazing, amazing movie. And the fight scenes, oh my God, the fight scenes were amazing. Like, this girl, like, Wolverine is that dude, right? But he's like broken down, he's old, and he ain't moving the same way. But this little girl was a beast. That you are introduced to this girl when she comes. So they go into the house to try to get her. They go into like the little shelter and these dudes, and she walks out and she got something in her hand, and it's like, what's in her hand? And it's this dude's head, and she rolls it at you. They didn't skip any corners. They did not take the easy way out in this movie. It was so good. It was so, so good. This is where I knew it was real. They meet this black family. And Elise Neal, Eric LaSalle, and a little black boy, right? And you like, oh, this is like a really nice family. They're not gonna like kill this family. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're looking at them like, yo, you know y'all can't stay. The people coming for y'all. You know what I'm saying? But listen, when they came in, I told y'all this is spoilers. Just know I'm about to spoil the hell out of this. If you have not seen it, I'm giving you a chance right now. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to get off, because it's about to really get spoiled. You got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, damn it. So when the Logan clone is over Charles Xavier and kills Charles Xavier, sad, RIP, that's my dude, and then kills everybody in the family, I was like, yo, I didn't see that coming. Like, I didn't see, like, you know how you always had those conversations like, man, they should have just went for it. They should have just, you know, what would have happened in real life if this was like a situation and you got this crazed killer? Yeah, it was wild. They killed everybody. But watching the emotional growth of Logan and his little girl and their bond, and it was just so, so amazing. And like, you know, they played the music that they played for it. Like, I grew up with my grandmother, right? Before she died, I lived in Kentucky. So I grew up with like country music around. I'm not a big country music fan, but I can tolerate some country music. I do really respect John Cash. And so there's playing this Johnny Cash song, the Hurt song. The song just fit perfectly for what was happening and like give you that that Western feel. And so, like, watching this dude struggle, like, Wolverine is, like, limping. You're not used to seeing Wolverine limping. You're not used to seeing Wolverine bleeding the whole movie, and it's not healing. And so, you know, watching that piece, man, and watching him kind of come to grips with being this girl's father and getting her where she needs to go, and his cynicism, and he just feeling like, I'm just ready to die. Like he was just ready to die. He carried an adamantium bullet in his pocket with him at all times, just to, you know, like, if he was probably going to use it at some point. But there's a scene where Wolverine finally gets the girl to where she needs to go. And she, you know, they clean him up and they inject him with this shot that helps him heal. And so when the bad guys show up for the final showdown and Wolverine is on that juice, and he is like the old Wolverine, and then his daughter, listen, man, they just wreck shop. I cannot wait to buy this movie. I'm going to watch it so much. I am so, so happy. You know, they killed my dude, but you knew he was going to die if you were a fan of the comic, and it's not really close to the comic at all, just because they don't have all those properties, and you know, it's his own kind of self-contained story, which I appreciate, and it's like a bittersweet, you know, thing or whatever, but it's the best X-Men movie by far. It is one of the best comic book movies I've ever seen. The only movie that I think that is in the rain, that is even in the same plateau is The Dark Knight. And I actually think this is better than The Dark Knight because I'm biased. I'm a Marvel person. I would, you know, I mean, Heath Ledger's Joker is just a beast and great. But I think this is better. I do. And I think that the action is better than any action that I've seen in any of these comic book movies. And I love comic book movies. I will be watching them for a long time. I'm a big old kid. this movie was definitely for grown-ups. I would definitely say if you got a kid that's 9 or 10 years old and you think it's sweet, it's not sweet. I don't think you want to do that. But hey, however you parents, how you parent. And so, I appreciate Hugh Jackman for being in the role, even though they've gave him some crappy movies and some crappy material that he had to deal with. But he has been this Wolverine character, and it's very rare that you let actors go out on their own accord. And I think them allowing Hugh Jackman and Charles Xavier, you know, Logan and Charles Xavier to go out with dignity in a movie that finally really just allows them to be who they are in those comics is amazing. I mean, listening to Charles Xavier and Logan curse each other out throughout the whole movie is really sweet and endearing. Maybe I just come from messed up background, but I liked it. I loved it. I loved watching them interact, and I loved like the relationship that they had with this little girl, and like she was just a beast. She was awesome. So, like I said, I'm not doing a traditional review because other people do that. That is not what I do. This is the Cold World podcast. This is not the Charles Review Stuff podcast, okay? I am reviewing and talking about how I experienced these movies and what these movies did for me, okay? Because at work, I've been wanting to gut punch people, and these movies made me feel good, all right? They were like refuge for me, and talking to y'all about it, like, this paper and this program is kicking my butt, and I kind of want to quit right now, but I stopped because I these movies brought me so much joy, and it brings me joy to talk to y'all about my experience. You understand? Okay, all right. So you can complain if you want to, do it in the comment section, but I like what I like. So Get Out and Logan and Get Out. Those movies were great. 2017 is starting off excellent for movies. Logan and Get Out should Oscar contenders, baby. Logan, listen. Logan can for real get a Best Actor nomination. It can definitely have. Hugh Jackman was amazing in this role, okay? It was not a typical superhero movie. He showed range. It made me feel something, all right? At the end of the movie, when the little girl is holding his hand and saying, "Daddy," I cried a thug tear because it was emotional. We were saying goodbye to the Wolverine. It's in the future, so they're going to bring back Wolverine in some kind of form or fashion, but it might not be Hugh Jackman. But it did something to me. I got feelings. Am I not a man? Am I not a human? I've watched every cartoon. You understand? Let me tell you, like, my thing with when I moved to Oakland, we lived in the Fruitvale. I told you I lived all over Oakland. And there was this corner store on Fruitvale. Wasn't very many black people. So what I would do is I would go when I didn't have money for the arcade, I would go to the corner store, and I was nice with the people and I had manners because I still had my Kentucky, like, the things that my grandmama taught me, and I said sir and ma'am, and they just let me kind of basically sit in the convenience store and read the comic books. And I would always read the X-Men and the Wolverine comic books, and they would let me. I would come in there twice a month or however often, and I would just read them, and they let me do that because I didn't have money to buy them. Okay, I grew up with Wolverine. When the cartoon came out every Saturday morning, I was in front of the TV to watch the X-Men. The song is in my head right now. It will be my ringtone, okay? I love the X-Men. I love Wolverine. I love the X-Men for what... And then when I got older and learned the X-Men was supposed to kind of be a play on the civil rights movement, and mutants was how they was looking at black people, it's deep, okay? These people are deep. And my dude just died, all right? He just found out he had a daughter. He just bonded with her. You know what I'm saying? It was emotional, damn it. Yeah. So what I'm saying is Oscar consideration. He should get it. I mean this. I'm putting in that bid right now. And then Get Out. Get Out should get some consideration to it. Get Out is a. I said I was. Listen, Nicole. People are coming in. I said I was spoiling it. It says it in the intro. I've been saying it, that if you haven't seen it, you want to get out. I'm spoiling the hell out of these movies, all right? Spoiling it. Get Out just for a, is a cultural moment. Do you understand? Do you like black folks have not been able to cheer and root at the screen in a long time, okay? People are happy about Moonlight. I'm glad they got the award. Every black woman I done talked to about Moonlight, like, it's one of those things they like it in public, and then when it's just them and they just talking to you, they like, I ain't get it. It was a confusing movie, and the people in the movie was confused. But I'm happy that they won. I'm happy that they won. That's dope. But Get Out was like black people were standing up in the theater cheering at the screen, okay? Like, it was Spike Lee's dream come true. You understand? You know how mad Spike Lee probably got to be right now? Let's real talk. Spike Lee has been working real hard at this, having to scrape up money and all that stuff. And, you know, he get like a Do the Right Thing. He get a Malcolm X. But, you know, he's kind of like an unsung hero or whatever. Kind of a tortured filmmaker. And he just did the Chirac movie, which was kind of different. And he thought people was going to really vibe with it. And they didn't. It kind of backfired on him. You know how he must feel that some cat that just started making movies and that ain't even in the genre just like did it and spent $4 or $5 million and he made $30 million in the first weekend. You know, I'm just saying, he was probably, Spike Lee is probably like drinking some Hennessy right now, like with no chaser. He is probably sitting there like, you know, he got to like show love in public, but he probably like real mad. He's probably like, he dating a white woman in real life. I'm telling you, Spike Lee would say some stuff like that. I know Spike Lee. I'm just saying, you know Spike Lee. Like, Spike Lee might be a little salty right now. I mean, think about it, man. Out the gate. What I'm hoping that Jordan Peele doesn't do, because he says he's gonna continue the series or do some more social horror movies or whatnot, whatever he called it. You know, don't go to the well too many times, man. Sometimes you just gotta let some things be great. You just gotta let some things breathe. But Get Out was amazing. I can't wait for, I'm loving all the little things that keep coming out about it. And I can't wait till I find the article or the video with the white girl dating the black dude and her feelings on the movie. I promise you, I will share it far and wide. I might even write a piece on it if I find it. I know I haven't been writing like pop culture stuff in a minute. I've been kind of sticking to, you know, my education thing. I cannot wait to see that article. Somebody send me that. I know it's an article out there. Come on, people that's listening, find that article or that video. Please send it to me. I cannot wait. I can't wait. Anyway, with that being said, I appreciate y'all. I'm glad I got to see y'all. I got to get back on this work. It's killing me, y'all. It is making me grumpier than normal. It is real in these streets, but I appreciate y'all. I'm blessed to be able to do what I get to do. I do have some speaking gigs coming up soon. I don't know them off the top of my head, but I will share them as soon as I find out. Thank y'all for rocking with me. Thank y'all for supporting. You all have been supporting with the videos, the audio, the podcast, and my writing. And I just really, really want to thank you all. I'm on the precipice of something big that I can't wait to share with you. It's too early right now, but as soon as I can, y'all would be some of the first folks to know. I truly, truly mean that. And thank y'all for rocking with me. No joke. It means so much to me. Y'all take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. And have a great week, man. Don't let none of these people steal your joy. You are in control of that. If you don't like something, you get to change it. If you don't like your job, change it. If you don't like your man or your woman, fix it. I don't want to tell you to just change it, but change it. But if you don't like your body, stop giving these people so much power over you, man. I just really mean that. And I just love seeing my people. I just love seeing my people do well, man. I really feel like when folks I know and folks that look like me do well, I really feel like I did. I don't, like when Ava DuVernay, something happened, good happens to her, I feel like I know her. Like I don't. But you know, I like to root for our people, man. We are beautiful people. With that being said, man, y'all have a good one.
and look who crawling, still ballin' in the mix. It's that 6'6 long dick, slim nigga sticking your chick. Pulling tricks, looking slick at all times when I'm flipping. Bar sipping, car dipping, Grant Wood grain gripping. Still tipping on still blowing on that endo. GameCube, Nintendo, 5% tint, so you can't see up in my window. These niggas don't understand me, cause I'm boss hog on candy. Top down at Maxis with a big Glock 9 handy. Pieced up, creased up, stand dressed to impress. Big boss belt buckle under my Michelin S. Oh, Gucci shades up on my braids when I escalade. When I'm riding spree wheel, sliding like a escapade. I got it made, the big boss of the north. Ain't shit change, I still represent what's your house, huh?
I'm tipping, wood grain, I'm gripping. Catch me lying, switching with the paint dripping. Turn your neck and your day ain't missing. Me and Slim, we ain't tripping. I'm figure flipping and syrup sipping. Like do or die, I'm pole pimping. Car stop, rims keep spinning. I'm flipping, drop with invisible tops. Hose bob with my drop step out. I'm shaking the block with 418s. Candy green with a